You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to turn to John chapter 1. And don't worry, we're not going verse by verse through the whole thing today. But I want you to turn to John chapter 1. We're going to get to John chapter 20 in just a minute, but this John 20 gives us this huge word, and it's a word, believe. That the whole purpose of the Gospel of John is so that we would believe in Jesus Christ, that he would be a miracle worker, that we would believe he was the miraculous Messiah, that he's the Son of God. That's the whole purpose of this two-year study, is to increase our belief, that we would believe in miracles, that we would believe God still does miracles and has done a miracle in sending his one and only Son to this earth. That was a miracle in itself. And we'll talk about many other miracles, but that was the big, huge miracle. The whole goal of the book of John is that we would believe. It was 1980. The U.S. hockey team was playing the Russian hockey team in the Olympics. And Al Michaels, a sportscaster, said one of the most famous things ever said in the history of sportscasting. He said this: do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Again, coming to you from the Olympic ice arena. Come on, baby. The U.S., huge underdogs, leading the Soviet Union. Johnson over to Ramsey. Only 11 of his, checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Tomorrow, up to Colt. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
I remember that as a kid. I remember watching that. That's the question we've been asking for 2 years. Do you believe in miracles? Yes, is hopefully our answer. That we believe that God performed a miracle in sending his one and only begotten Son here to earth, that God did amazing things, that he proclaimed miracle after miracle, and we have seen it in the book of John over the past 2 years. The whole purpose of the book of John, as we'll see in chapter 20, we're in chapter 1 now, but when we get to chapter 20, the whole purpose of it will be that we would believe in the miraculous Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So just as Al Michaels asked in 1980, I ask you here today, do you believe in miracles? See, the book of John begins all the way back. We've got a graph that I want to work through with us. If you got your listening guide, you need to pull it out today in downtown and also here at the Loop. We're going to start with a place on this graph that's going to be this one little spot, and then we're going to go forward from it. But this one little spot is that John begins with discussing creation. That's where it begins. There's a discussion of creation. This is what we're going to see as we begin the book of John. We're going to see creation beginning, and we're going to see it in John chapter 1, the first three verses. Now, we're going to move quick, so you got to keep hanging with me. Here we go. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, what book of the Bible does that sound like? In the beginning, the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him. That him is Jesus. All things were created through him. And apart from him, Jesus, not one thing was created that has been created. Later on in verse 14, it says the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. The Word is Jesus. So he begins the book of John way back in the beginning. I mean, way back in the beginning. In creation, and says, we're going to begin from this place. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God. In the beginning, all things were created by him. In Colossians verse 15 of chapter 1, it says, for Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, whether in heaven or on earth, thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Listen to this. And in him, all things hold together. So John begins all the way back at the beginning of saying it begins with creation. Now I want you to turn to John chapter 20. Let's jump to John 20. John chapter 20 is going to give us the purpose of this whole gospel. He's going to speak to us this entire aspect of what this whole book is about. So if you just joined our church or this is your first time, you get the cliff notes on 2 years right here. In John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31 is where we're going to be. John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Your Bible may have where the commentators wrote above it the purpose of this gospel, the meaning of this book, the reason for this. This is what it says in John 20, verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. John is basically saying, look, don't complain when I didn't get your favorite miracle into the book. I don't want to hear about it the rest of my life. So he's saying there's many other things that have happened that are not written in this book. Now let's look at verse 31. But these are written, why? So that you may believe, underline that in your Bible, that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. These things are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. See, it's not enough to just believe in Jesus. Hear me out on this. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. You must believe the right things about Jesus. That's where salvation and that's where Christian growth comes from. You can say, well, I believe Jesus existed. That's not the same as saying, I believe Jesus was the Messiah, Son of God, without sin, miracle worker, that is my payment for my sin. That's a different kind of belief. So it's not just believing in, it's believing in the right things about Jesus. So John says, I've written this whole thing so that you may believe. Believe. See, the whole thing comes down to the foundation of everything that we have is that we would come down to hear, that we would have, that we would believe. The book of John's foundation is that we would believe. We have creation, and yes, we believe in creation. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. Now, how is John going to show this? John is going to show this through taking us through 7 miracles and 7 I am statements. So we're basically going to have a 7 and 7 right here. 7 miracles and 7 I am statements. Now, hopefully you've noticed these things. Hopefully you've been journeying with us on these things. The book that I got to write this year was called I Am Changes Who I Am. That Jesus, the whole book is about 7 miracles in the book of John, 7 I am statements in the book of John. So the book of John is all founded upon belief. It begins in creation and then it ramps up with 7 miracles and 7 I am statements. See, John wants us to believe. So he's proving it to us. He's showing it to us. He's not just telling us to believe. He's showing us why we should believe. John is big into belief. In the book of John, believing is used 98 times in 21 chapters. The world is used 78 times in 21 chapters. Believing world, the world believing. That's the whole theme of John. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in his only begotten son, that's believing the right thing, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believing in the world believing is huge to John. And he's saying, I want you to understand this through 7 miracles and 7 I am statements. 7 miracles. You know many of them. Turning water into wine. That's my personal favorite, not because I'm a big drinker. I just think it's a cool miracle. Turning water into wine, healing the nobleman's son, healing the lame man, feeding the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, then a man healed born blind and Jesus raising Lazarus. Now these miracles are huge in proportion. Obviously one of them would be enough to prove that he's the Son of God. But what he does is he takes 5 miracles, before he gives us one I am statement in the book of John. There's five miracles before you get to one I am statement. An I am statement is a declaration of who he is. It's a statement of identity. This is who I am. He goes through five miracles before he gets to one I am statement. Why? Because there's something in us as humans that we want you to do it before you tell us. Isn't that true with you? I don't want you telling me stuff until I see you doing it. Don't tell me about what a great athlete you are and tell me how to be a great athlete. Let me see you do something. If Tim Tebow walked in right now and said, here's how you throw a pass, would you listen to him or not? Yes, you would. If I told you how to throw a pass, would you listen to me or not? You should not listen is what you should not do. I have nothing in my life that proves I could throw a good pass. We as humans intrinsically have something that says we must see it before we believe what you're saying about yourself. It's our meter of hypocrisy. On the reverse, it's what causes us to not believe when somebody says, well, I'm a big time whatever. And you go, no, you're not, because we don't see any of this in your life. But when we see it in your life, and then they step forward and they say, let me tell you about marriage. And you go, you've been through hard times. You've been through good times. I see that you love your wife. Let me listen. That's different, isn't it? So Jesus comes through five miracles before he gives one I am statement. It's so great. He feeds the 5,000. He walks on water. And then do you know what his first I am statement is? I'm the bread of life. And if you just saw 5,000 men, probably 10,000 people fed, you're going to believe him when he says he's the bread of life, aren't you? Because he used loaves and fish. So Jesus uses these believing miracles to increase our goal of believing. Five miracles before one I am statement. Then we get to the I am statements. So we have seven miracles. We have seven I am statements. God's perfect number coming together in this. It's awesome to watch this whole thing happening. Seven I am statements where he declares, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. Amazing what he gets us to. He is taking us through of saying, I can provide your every need because I'm the bread of life. I can provide your guidance because I'm the light of the world. I'm the door that takes you into heaven. I am the good shepherd. Just follow me. I am the resurrection and the life. You need not fear death. I can rise you again for all of eternity. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Controversial in today, but saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's not a statement of arrogance. It's a statement of grace. Aren't you grateful that God told us the route to heaven? Is that arrogance? Is that bullying? Or is that grace? Today's world will spin that to be arrogant bullying when it is deep grace that he did not leave us up to our own accord to figure out how to spend eternity. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I say, thank you, God, for telling me the road. If you're going to tell me go to Dallas, tell me I-45. Don't tell me I-10. I need to know. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally he says, I am the true vine. Why does he end with the true vine? Because it's an abiding life that this is how you live out the Christian life. I've begun with saying I'm going to give you nourishment, and I'm ending with saying how you're going to be connected to me for the rest of your life. What an amazing thing. Do you know where those I ams and those miracles are going? Those I ams and miracles are taking us very simply to the cross. That's where it's taking us. The book of John's climax, as with every gospel, is at the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see what John has just done? John has said, the number one thing that I want you to be about, I want you to be about believing. That's the number one thing, that your belief would operate into your lives. I'm going to begin right here with creation. And as I begin with creation, hang on, I created this whole thing. So I have the power over every miracle. I have the power over water. I have the power over bread. I have the power to walk on water. I can do this whole thing. I've got seven miracles. Five of them are going to happen before I tell you the seven identity statements of who I am. This is the wonderful book of John. Amazing. So that you could get to the cross and believe. Can I tell you what's great about these miracles? The first one was water to wine. The last one was Lazarus being raised from the dead. Why would Lazarus be the last miracle? Because when you see a man raised from the dead, it is not far to believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. He built upon them over and over and over so that we would get to the last one with Lazarus. And with Lazarus being raised from the dead, now Lazarus was not resurrected, he was resuscitated. He was the same body and he was going to die again. To which I would say, poor Lazarus. Don't look at Lazarus and go, oh, great. No, he was headed to heaven and he had to come back to here. Poor Lazarus. But Lazarus is here at the table with all of the disciples, and they keep having dinner and lunch with Lazarus so that when Jesus comes out of the tomb, they go, well, if he could do it with Lazarus, he could surely do it with his own self. That it brings us to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the pinnacle of the book of John, the cross and the resurrection of Christ. I want to show you something. This right here is my study from the book of John. These are the binders. So all the folks that come up to me at the end and go, "Do you? Well, what do you do on Mondays like through Fridays? Do you do anything besides preach?" Shame on you for asking. I study is what I do. I study a lot. Each one of these pages has been read. Each one of these pages has been highlighted. The book of John's depth is immense. You could drown in the depth of the book of John, but you could also place the newest believer into its waters, and it would be shallow enough for them to understand who Jesus is. So each one of these binders is commentary thoughts, is things taken from different books, put together into to different packets, basically, for each message. Each one of these binders is basically my writings of my own journey with the Lord, my journal entries, my words, my outlines that you get in your listening guide. They all come. And so it's four of these and four of these that it took. But you know where it all came from? It all came from a lawn chair beginning. Remember with Jesus sitting in the lawn chair with us? I knew that God wanted us to do the book of John. I knew I needed to get away a little bit. And so I put my mountain bike into the back of my car and I took off and I went to Hershey Park Trail, where you could just ride your bike down there. You can run. It's a great park. It kind of connects like the Beltway and Highway 6 together. It's a wonderful place to walk or ride. You should go there someday. And I got my backpack on. I got my Bible. I got just one of these, the first one of these. And I wrote down in there and just said, okay, Lord, here we go. Here we go. I wrote it down. I said, okay, God, show me the spot that you want me to prepare at. Where do you want me to just begin outlining the book of John? So I got on my bike and I kept riding and I kept riding and I kept riding and I kept riding and I rode past and I looked over. There's all these park benches. There was one park bench that somebody in the neighborhood had come around and they put this wonderful trellis around it. They planted flowers around it. It had two benches that had a shade tree right over it and there was a sign over it that said, welcome. And I thought that just might be the place. And downtown folks, in the midst of all that concrete that you're in downtown, and here at the Loop with 610 and I-10, I sat down in a lawn chair, if you will, with Jesus. I didn't know it was going to work out to be such great bookends. And I outlined John 1 through 13 in one sitting. Not writing all the message, just thoughts. Boom, 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 boom. And now to come back around and to see the simplicity of all that commentary, all that study, all those sermons, every bit of it comes to the cross. Do you believe in the cross of Jesus Christ? Do you believe it was for you? Do you believe that he died and paid the price for you and that his cross paid for your sins and that his resurrection is your new life? That's the pinnacle of this whole thing. And if you don't believe in that, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to place your faith and belief in Jesus Christ alone. Not just believing an ambiguous Jesus, believing the right biblical things about Christ. It goes from the cross to a huge statement, a wonderful statement that says, abide. Abide. What do we do with this whole thing? How do we take it from here? We abide. What do we do with all of these binders, all of these things? We abide in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18. We're going to read chapter 14, verse 15 through 18, and then we're going to read 15, verse 5. But I want you to hear this verse. We've now gone, we're not at the cross yet here in this passage of the scripture, but he's giving us what's going to happen. John 14, verse 15, here's what it says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because he does not see him or know him, but you do know him. Because he remains with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. The Holy Spirit is what comes from the cross, that the Holy Spirit can live in our lives. Do you know if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You'll never be an orphan. You'll never be an orphan. He lives inside of you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit influenced. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit indwells. Wow. Why? What was the change? The cross of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit influenced in the Old Testament. He indwells in the New Testament. We've had this quote many times in the Celtic Christians in the 400s AD. They called the Holy Spirit the wild goose. Here's what Mark Batterson says. The wild goose will show up in wild places at wild times. He'll take you to places you never imagined, going by paths you never knew existed. If you're open to him, conceiving those God-ordained passions in your heart. But once that passion is conceived in your heart, you need to do something about it. The wild goose is honking and declaring to us, I live inside of you and I want you to take this cross and take it out. So that John 15 verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides or remains in me will produce much fruit. We were made to abide in Jesus. So what's the application here? The application is that we would be grafted in through the cross of Christ. We would hang on to him. He would live his life through us. And living his life through us, it says in John 15, 5, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. But if you abide in me, you can bear much fruit. We as a church have been abiding in Jesus Christ these last 2 years. Not every one of us is an individual. We all have places of growth. But we as a church have been abiding in Christ. And this verse tells us that if we abide in Christ, we will bear much fruit. Can we celebrate together for just a moment the conclusion of the book of John? For 2 years, we've been studying this book. We finished. It's amazing what God's done. But let me tell you some places of celebration too. I want to name for you 20 things, just in a list, that God's done in our church over these last 2 years. I could name, as John says here in his book, I could name many more. But I'm saying these things so that you may believe. Do you know that we, Long Point Road over north of I-10, we have a great investment over there. Long Point Baptist Church gave us their property. Oftentimes churches that are declining because of the respect and admiration of our church for decades upon decades. They say, will you help us out? We're declining and we need your help. And they deed their property over to us, or they come under watch care that we just take care of them, whatever it is. It's not something we go in to try to get. They come to us, and so we help them in great ways. And here's what happened there. We redid the entire church. Had a faith center is what we call it now. We moved our food pantry and clothes closet and expanded it. We opened affordable daycare at the Faith Center for that community. That's number one. Number two, FBA, First Baptist Academy, built an athletic complex, football field, track. It's amazing. Long Point and Silver. Timber Grove Baptist Church in the Heights. They said they were in decline, and they said, we want you to help us. And so we're helping them right now at this time. Number four, there's been a recent depth of the spirit of prayer in our church. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Number five, we've given away millions to missions and ministry outside of our church. Do you know that 25% of the money that comes into our church goes right out the door to missions and ministry outside of our church? 25% of every dollar that's donated here. That is absolutely off the hook. Amazing to watch that happening. We've been abiding in Jesus, and we've been bearing great fruit. In the last 2 years, this made me tired to just even realize this. In the last 2 years, my first book, Finding God's Will, came out, and then the next book, I Am Changes Who I Am, was written and released as well. That's amazing. Number 7, Downtown Campus. Listen up. You didn't even exist 2 years ago. And now we've got hundreds of people in downtown Houston worshiping the Lord. We've renovated the 4th and 5th floors for married young adults. We've renovated the 2nd floor for adults. We were working on the fitness and recreation center. We had so many young families. We had to build a new preschool and children's building for space. Number 10, our church became debt-free for the first time since, like, Jesus came on earth type thing. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. It is. Over 50 international mission trips have gone out. We started a legacy adoption ministry to help people adopt. If you want to adopt children, please come to us. We would love to give you money. That's how much we love this. We are helping people, and we're seeing those kids that we gave the money. We're starting to see some kids are starting to be adopted. It's a long process. We funded a pregnancy clinic in Spring Branch. We purchased and renovated. The Hope House is about to open to help people that are struggling with cancer, for their families to stay there with our church ministering to them. Life Bible Study, we're almost at an average of 4,200 people, which is record-breaking for where we've been in our history. We've started the School of Fine Arts to help teach kids to be able to worship and to lead worship and those sort of things, and just play great instruments and learn fine arts. Christmas Celebration has been adding performances. We've seen thousands and thousands of people in our city impacted by that. Our college students, our high school students, our middle school students, we're seeing salvation come in their lives and then walk with God in an amazing way. 19, we're almost done. Single parent ministry is thriving in our church. Isn't that great? Shouldn't we love those single moms and dads like crazy? Don't let them come to church and put on a scarlet letter. Embrace them and minister to them and care for them. And number 20, and finally, but I could go on to 220, our choir and orchestra has grown all throughout this time, and so much that now we have 120 of them going to the Philippines to do ministry and missions. What an amazing thing God has done in our church. Can we just stop? And I'm just going to pray and just thank Jesus. Father, we just come and we give you thanks. Your word says apart from you, we can do nothing. So we don't take a bit of credit. We got a great staff. We got great people, but we have a greater God. And we say yes to you, Lord. Do even more. Your word says if we abide in you, we will bear much fruit. We believe in miracles and I am statements in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we see so many things happen. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. See, abiding in him is restful residence and desperate dependence. Sitting in him. Now look, if you will, in John chapter 21, our last verse. John chapter 21. We've seen in John chapter 20 where he says, or let's look, actually turn back to John 20, verse 31. I have to tell you one other thing. It says in chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written, why? So that you may believe what? Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And what? By believing, you may have life in his name. The last thing here is life in his name. Not life in your name. Nobody cares about your name. Nobody cares about my name. There's no salvation in our name. There's no power in our names. Our names are breaths that are gone on a winter morn. Life in his name. That is amazing. That's the joy of life. Now look, if you will, in John 21, verse 24. This disciple, this is verse 24, John 21, 24 and 25, the last verses, and this is what we close with. This is the disciple who testifies these things. That's John, who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. He's saying, you can believe me. Verse 25, watch this. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written down one by one, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Miracles are never ending because he is never ending. If all the miracles of Jesus were written down, the world couldn't contain them in the books. You think my little book's over here? This is like nothing. Nothing compared to the miracles of Jesus. This huge stack of papers, if you took every book that he did, every miracle, he's doing miracles right now today. He's going to do them tonight while you sleep. He's going to do them tomorrow while you're at work. He's going to do it all day, every day, 24/7, 365, and even on leap year. He's doing it. And so this is nothing compared to the books that would fill the world. His miracles are unending because he is unending. Let me walk you through our graph, ask you a question, we're done. He begins in creation. He says there's seven I ams and seven miracles so that you will believe that the cross of Jesus Christ was the power for your salvation and for life. So now from the cross, you must abide in him. And as you abide in him, you will find life in his name. And life in his name is based upon belief. You have to believe. So I ask you the question from where we started. Not 1980s, the Russians against the Americans. I ask you right now, today's date, today's time. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Let me ask you again. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Yes, so do I. And this friend, John, I hate to see the taillights of him go. But I want you to know, after studying him and walking through his life, I believe stronger than I did 2 years ago. Yes. Do you believe? Do you believe? We have a time of invitation. If you have not placed your belief in Jesus Christ, you come and receive him as Savior. You come and get your life right with him. If you're not walking with him, your life is a cul-de-sac and it will run out. Get on the highway of the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.